Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Chapter 3, Episode 5. In this installment, Yogi and Mago settle into married life. On weekends following the wedding, Yogi pulled into their driveway. Two girls did cartwheels. Honeysuckle beckoned him from the car. A leaf put its cool hand upon his forehead as he bumped into overhanging blossom. This was home, the sanctuary. It was a relief to find one's lovable end of the struggle. He had worked his way toward blue patio weather, weekend papers, movies on video, a dozy Sunday, lazy on the sofa. Margot was at hand, a swishing skirt at the corner of his eye, and when he least expected, swooping down, sweeping him over the edge into the state of slap-happy amnesia, enjoying a glass of delicious idleness. But this home had a creaky floor. Two girls shunned their stepdad's curry behind a hot pink bedroom door while Margot's teaching in a hurry to get on home. He can't be witty and tell dumb jokes to two who dwell in their sheet shack with a pretty kitty bed lamp near, for Paul and Adele exercise their inborn habit of saying scram so expertly with timid rabbit in temperament. Paul rang Papa. He said, "Don't worry, mon chéri, c'est your passion, just que weekend." She sighed her oui. Yes, their home had a creaky floor. On pigeon toes she came to coo and left work heels outside their door, then craned her neck to see their new teepee of sorts. The clothesline strings wore pegs that clamped the bedsheet wall. Her pajama girls, her slumped dumplings, were battery toys run out of crawl. Some food, a bath, she lit a light, then sat with him behind their door to meditate night after night. She chimed brass bells like keeping score as he drummed on, his knuckles white, a heartbeat sounding through the floor. Their still house had a creaky floor, both chanted on past cerebellum. Nag Champa sent a corridor of Bhagavate Nama Om, Bhagavate Nama Om. This key of words turned like a lock as they repeated ad infinitum. And then it felt just like a star walk, transporting her to suns and moons, past which she moved slowly, ascending, her thoughts releasing like balloons. Her sense of time and space was bending. She swam in a flood, 10,000 suns, but he saw nothing so never ending. Their small house had a creaky floor. The bedroom filled with insomniacs, sleepless sages came through the door, old rishis, munis, sadhus, sadaks, visible to Margot's eye. Something whispered, "It's easy, sit, keep vigil while the earthbound cry, out of touch with the infinite. Just sound out Jesus, Allah, Ram. Your heart is always asking, why are you so far?" No, just be calm, as seers who've seen their inner sky from Hinduism to Islam. No need to say, please clarify. Later he wrote in his song journal, "She says they live in a land of paths that wind through flowers. I see a lifeless elm that weeps the winter showers. She says they sit in fragrant caves that bank a path. I see leaf-swept grey slate beneath a concrete birdbath. She says trees spring from coral, beryl, pearls and rubies. I see days filled with yellow squabbling of canaries. She says, talk to them and shed your feathers of words. I try, but find myself still yelling at the birds. She says, we walk into a lotus kamal flower. She says, that's where we find our way to fragrant power. I say, what visitants live in this land beyond the night? She says, consider who you are, ray of the light. All he could do was sing and write each night. Oh, give me your grace, show me your face, my beloved. You're the hills, the valleys, the rivers, my beloved. You're the forests, the deserts, the oceans, my beloved. All turbulent rivers run into you, my beloved. Think of me, look at me, touch me here on my forehead, draw my lost soul up from the dead, my beloved, my beloved, my beloved. The more he heard, the less that he could see. Was looking in the art of memory? Perhaps her brain stockpiled the old deductions. He wished he could be switched on like TV. This home had its creaky floor. A cotton futon was spread for two to hug in darkness and adore those loving holds like jujitsu. She was glad to find a warrior to wrestle with her hand to hand, catch and release and then encore, doing things no longer banned. Love employed its own technique. At last she found a paramour, not too quick, but not too weak. Good sex is moving with one's spouse, forgetting when the pine boards creak until a child cries in the house. They lie still, the floorboards stop. Pauline waits and then she walks. Sleepwalker or a need to eavesdrop on the adult nexus and its talks? Irritable as a white chinchilla, she yells out, Mummy! Nightly patter, scarpers nearer, a girl Godzilla with face full of antimatter. Margot would take her back to bed. Her words were syrup, mum vanilla, trying to soothe the sleepy head. She lay with Paul in the bedsheet villa, negotiating with her young hothead, while part of her wanted to kill her. He knew he didn't fit the bill. He knew the girls were not his own. He lacked the background and the skill. They baited him like a bear until he couldn't bear another groan and wondered how to fit the bill. Their master plan was far too shrill, whining to Papa on the phone. He had the power, thus the skill. Yes, stepdad had big shoes to fill. A freelance man at home, alone. He helped with rent and the grocery bill. They've broken down his mind and will. His head is heavy as a stone. Who has the background and the skill? On a 1 to 10, he scored a nil. A proxy dad is a parent clone. He knew he did not fit the bill. He lacked the background and the skill. This wouldn't do. A hostile papa came Friday fortnights. The Incredible Hulk in green porch light picked up his darling girls till returned to send a Sunday drop-off night. They scowled like kittens, knotted in a sack, dumped again into their mother's hands, quarrelled, scratched and bit at air for days. Margot thought, would Yogi ever learn the wiles of little girls, how not to heat them up like cooking oil, how hell's a kitchen here most nights, how he force-fed them with old wives' tales of food and starving kids in Asia? Would they ever take to him? She did not want her fledgling third-time marriage overbalancing its yogic headstand. They talked of going off to India to study more. Perhaps they must now take the girls. They also planned to go and meet the far-off clans in Paris and Detroit, then on to Delhi. After, they would jet the girls back home. Pierre was demanding a terse court order to sell the little house should none return. The lady judge agreed. Such words as sect and guru cult were written next to idol worship into legal record. In this hall of seats and wooden echoes, the trinity of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva were powerless against the laws of humans who hail the liquid spirits, soccer gods. She needed to get away and give her marriage a chance to breathe. She made a hurried call to volunteers abroad, some project work, a village school in UP, India. "How quickly can you come? By January?" She signed the blunt court order, packed the bags, and their marriage took a taxi to the airport. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Check out my website at chrismooneysingh.com and tune in next week for another episode. See you then.